I have the story that I think as I was writing this sermon this week, as I was recounting this story, I almost couldn't believe it. Have you ever had those stories? Stories, things that happen in your life that are like, did I remember that wrong? Well, I'm going to give you a little insight about how Dennis was like way back when, freshman year in college, in fact. I was a freshman, and I had this huge crush on one of the other freshman girls. It was my second semester, first year in college, and kind of give you a picture of how life was back then. We had something called AIM, AOL Instant Messenger. Yeah, it's kind of like GChat. It was all the rage back then, right? And so I remember it was in February 2003. And growing up in Texas, you don't get weather like what we have right now very often, it's always bright and sunny, but it's never like sunny and cool. You know what I mean? Like never, very rarely like 70s and sunny and just nice weather. All right. So there's this girl I had a huge crush on. I remember it was Sunday afternoon, and it was one of those rare days that it was sunny and it was like in the 70s. The weather was perfect. It was awesome. And so me being a Dennis, very not suave, I was chatting with this girl online, because that's what you do, right? You don't pick up the phone. I'm chatting with her online, and I said something along the lines of, if the weather is like this tomorrow, we should go have a picnic. Right? I thought I was being kind of like, I look back, and I just like, I'm so sorry, Dana. Like, I tricked you. I couldn't trick any other girls. So here's me trying to do my thing. And wouldn't you know? This is Texas, mind you. Texas, late February. All right? Things don't get cold in Texas. Things just get hot. All right? And so it is like mid-70s. That very evening, it drops 35 degrees. That very next day, school was shut down because there was an ice storm. I am not even joking. The story my friends told from that day forth was legendary. It's like, Dennis, what in the world did you do? Right? It's like Dennis's dating life, right? Winter is coming. Right? It is so bad. And so I sat there and I go, there is no way that this is true. Like maybe I'm remembering wrong. So I went and I Googled February 2003 Austin ice storm. Okay? Let me read a few things for you on that day. This is from the 2000 significant weather 2000 Texas Almanac. February 24-26, 2003. Snow/ice, north central Texas. A severe cold brought freezing rain, sleet, and snow in the north central Texas. Snow's accumulations were as high as 5 inches in Texas, okay? 5 inches, resulting in $15 million in damages. Most schools and businesses were closed for this period. I went and I looked up the weather, all right? Sunday, February 23rd, 2003, high of 77 degrees, low of 41 degrees. Tuesday, February 24th, high of 37, low of 26. Tuesday, February 25th, high of 28, low of 24. Wednesday, February 26th, high of 36, low of 28. Nobody told me, conceal, don't feel. Like, I didn't know that, right? Like, Queen Elsa had nothing on me. And you might think, Dennis, you should have just looked online at the way you at weather.com before you made stupid comments like that, right? February 26, 2003, publication, Austin American Statesman. Whoops, weatherman takes blame for botched forecast. Mea culpa, a.k.a. my bad, So said area meteorologist Tuesday, lasting for through my fault, in an apology for not forecasting the ice storm Monday night and Tuesday. We just missed it, Lower Colorado River Authority meteorologist Bob Rose said. It wasn't forecast by anybody. It wasn't forecast in Dallas either. That is what I call terrible luck. Have you ever felt like that? Where it's just like my life is like, my lot is just like cursed. Like, come on. Like, I mean, I think the worst case scenario is things jump up 20 degrees and become 90-something degrees, right? No big deal. That makes sense. I didn't think I'll bring an ice storm to Central Texas. And for us this morning, it feels like no matter what we do, sometimes it feels like we're cursed. Our movements, our things we do, the things we say, it's like we're cursed. And for us this morning, this is what I want us to see. That maybe we feel like our lot in life, the lot, the inheritance God has given us is through a curse. Or maybe for some of you, so I guess I've had it pretty good. Maybe it's a blessing. And for us this morning, our big picture, our main idea is, doesn't matter if you view your lot as a curse or a blessing, our goal is to be faithful to God. It doesn't matter if you view your lot as a curse or a blessing. Our goal is to be faithful to God. So we are, if you look at with me, Joshua chapter 19. Joshua chapter 19, it says, the second lot came out for Simeon. For the tribe, the people of Simeon, according to their clans and their inheritance, was in the midst of the inheritance of the people of Judah. And they had for their inheritance Beersheba, Sheba, Molada, Hazar, Shola, Bela, Ezim, El Tolad, Bethel, Horma, Ziklag, Beth Merkaboth, Hazar Susa, Beth Lobaoth, Saruin, 13 cities with their villages, Ain, Rimmon, Ether, Ashen, 4 cities with their villages, together with all the villages around these cities as far as Baalath-beer, Ramoth of the Negev. This was an inheritance of the tribe of the people of Simeon according to their clans. The inheritance of the people of Simeon formed part of the territory of the people of Judah because the portion of the people of Judah was too large for them. The people of Simeon obtained an inheritance in the midst of their inheritance. All right, so we have been going through the lots, the inheritance of every single tribe, and we are reaching like the last batch of tribes. And we've been walking through this for like, what, the last month or so? And so we are hitting, and we're kind of moving down to the part, and we're finishing the lots today. All the lots, all the inheritance that gets split up, finishes today. And so for what I want us to see, first we see Simeon. Simeon gets his lot, or their tribe gets their lot. And they get placed smack in the middle, or not in the middle, smack inside the tribe of Judah, in the southern border. And it's like, here's Judah, and they just put, bam, right in the middle, there's like a little circle, Simeon's. And we might go, this is kind of weird, right? Usually people get like their own, they get borders, they're like, they're inside of Judah. And as you look through and we go, this is what's going on. This is why Simeon's there. You see, back in Genesis 49:5, Simeon, Jacob curses the brothers Simeon and Levi. Genesis 49:5 says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. All right? And he keeps on going. In verse 7 goes, cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. They're a curse. Jacob cursed Simeon and the tribe of Simeon. And so for this morning, the very first point I want to look at is for the cursed, for those who feel cursed, we can still partake in God's kingdom. For the cursed, we can still partake in God's kingdom. So I think we need to back up a little bit. Go, why are they cursed? Why is Why is their father so upset with Simeon and Levi? So I want to take you to a really lovely story in Genesis 34. I love this story because I'm going to back up a little bit. You're going to kind of delve into some really dark parts of my heart. There's something inside of me that goes, this story is awesome. And I'll share why. Simeon and Levi had a sister. And so what happens in this story, this terrible thing happens. Their sister gets raped by one of the men in like another group of people. One of the guys goes and rapes their sister. And this guy that rapes his sister, he like really loves this girl. Like he's infatuated with her. So what happens, the whole tribe, like the father of that man, goes to Jacob and he's like, my son really loves your daughter. He took advantage of her. I mean, we all understand that. That's not good. That's not right. But we're hoping that we can make amends to things. And so he goes, we hope we can make amends. Maybe we can have them like get married. And maybe our families can join together, right? Like, he really screwed up. And this is the thing, right? Simeon and Levi, if you have sisters, I mean, you would be ticked off beyond belief. You'd be pissed. This guy just raped my sister. And so this is what they do. This is scripture. So they said, okay, you want to be our people? Well, our people have a custom. Every man is circumcised. And so what they do is, well, if you want to marry our sister, the guy's like, you can ask for anything you want. He goes, okay, we ask that every single male in your like people group get circumcised. And then we'll be okay. And then they go, okay, that's fair. That's fair. We'll do that. So they circumcise every single male in their group. And it says, because on the third day, Simeon and Levi goes in and kills every single male while they were still sore. Anybody tracking with me here? Do you know exactly what happened? They made every single male get circumcised so they know they can't fight back and they go kill everybody. That's what happened. And part of me inside is like, that is such an awesome story, right? Like that is something you see on TV. Like they completely tricked them. You fools, right? You never do things like that. And like they go in these circles like everything. And so what Jacob's like, Jacob's ticked off. He is absolutely ticked off. And like for various reasons. Like one, you put our family in jeopardy. And you are just like, I mean, do you know what the repercussions are for what you just did? Two, you took something so important that this is, circumcision is God's covenant between us and him, and you used it to do evil. So what Jacob did when he was on his deathbed, he cursed his Simeon and Levi. He said, you two really messed up. He goes, I'm going to divide you in your tribe. You're going to be scattered in Israel. And if you look now, Levi has no land. Levi doesn't get any inheritance. Simeon, the tribe, dwindles to very, very little, and eventually they kind of just disappear. And this fulfills that curse that his dad puts on them. The tribe of Simeon gets put in the south border of Judah, where they kind of get shattered. But here's the thing. They're put down there. They had an opportunity, and part of what the reason for them to be down there is to guard the southern border of Judah. They got to guard and protect the southern border of Judah. They teamed up with Judah to protect that southern border. This group of people were given a lot that was cursed because of something their ancestor did in the past. You tracking with me here? There's an ancestor that did something terrible in the past, and that sin essentially cursed them. You don't get your own land like everybody else. You don't get to do the things everyone else does. You get to participate here. This is where you get. But God still uses that and allows them to partake in God's kingdom. They get to do God's work. A lot of us might feel like what we've been given is cursed. Maybe because of our past, the brokenness of our past, or maybe it's the things that we've done in our past that we go, there's no way God can use someone like me. I was just as evil as someone like Simeon and Levi. Where we might feel like the things we have done, or the family we've grown up in, or the decisions we've made have made us unqualified for God's kingdom. I remember when I went to seminary, it was one of the struggles and difficulties is a lot of my classmates came from seemingly very healthy families. Right? A lot of them were actually pastors' kids, and they have great relationship with their mom and dad, and things look great. That you know, and they had seemingly great families. But with me, and then another friend of mine, we didn't come from something like that. In fact, for me, I came from a broken family. I was rough around the edges. I said and done things that caused people to look at me in a very unfavorable way, and I can't say that. Part of it wasn't warranted or granted. I had a past I couldn't shake. I couldn't. That hurt me. That hurt my family. I've heard things where when my sister was dating this guy, I heard the mom say, I don't want you dating a girl with that type of family. If a feeling of curse, I mean, that's what it feels like. To be cursed by nothing that we've particularly done. I don't feel like, you know, and I hear things like, I can't believe, and it's like the whispers, you know, it's like the whispers. Peter and Joyce's son is doing what? He's a pastor? How did that family produce a pastor? And I hear stories like that. I hear whispers like that. Back home, I've heard things where, well, if Dennis ever came here, I don't think I can ever listen to him because I know all the things he's done in the past. And like I said, it's not like it wasn't particularly unwarranted. I did do some pretty stupid things. My family has gone through a lot of different hardships. But I stand here this morning as a testimony, not of anything I've done or anything my family has done right, but even as those who are cursed, God still uses to partake in His kingdom purposes, in His family. And you've heard time and time again of my stories, even Pastor Josh's stories. We come from brokenness. Brokenness that we did on our own, and brokenness that was inherited. But God said, doesn't matter what your lot is. It doesn't matter what your family did. It doesn't matter what you did. The cross wiped it all out and gave us a new slate. And says that even people like Dennis can partake in God's kingdom. Because it's not because of anything we do, but it's because of what He has done for us. So this morning, I want that to be an encouragement for you. Your past, your mistakes, your sins will not define you in God's family. It won't. But through the cross of Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity for our slate to be wiped clean. And be able to participate in His kingdom. for His glory, for our joy. I want to say that again. Is your past, your mistakes, your sins will not define you in God's family. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to have your slate wiped clean. And you'll be able to participate in this kingdom for His glory, for our joy. I look at that and go, that's so amazing. Isn't it? Is that not amazing? And Jacob cursed his son and his people. And God says, I will use you for my kingdom purposes. That should be the story of all of our lives. Every single one of us. But there's a second part. And for a second, maybe all of us in some sense are cursed because of our sin and our past. But God also blesses us, and there are blessed lots. And the question is, for the blessed this morning, don't settle when obedience gets tough. Don't settle when obedience gets tough. So we're going to skip through a lot of these inheritances, and we're going to jump straight to Dan. And so I'm just going to go through real quick, right? So Zebulun gets their inheritance. Issachar gets their inheritance. Asher gets their inheritance. Naphtali gets their inheritance. And then we get to Dan. And as great as all this is, I feel like when I'm reading this, this is the first thing that popped in my head when I read this. I thought of Star Wars, episode 1-3. And if you're big Star Wars fans, if you're big Star Wars fans, you not only know that episodes 1-3 are probably the worst Star Wars movies ever, and they're just terrible, with absolute terrible lines. But on top of that, it's not just how bad the movie is, or how bad the movies are. It's as much hope as you can have in young Anakin Skywalker. We know what's going to happen. And it's kind of like, oh, look how cute he is, right? Darth Vader. Right? If you didn't know that, sorry, you had like 40 years, okay? So that's on you, man. That's not on me, all right? If you haven't watched Star Wars by then, you're probably not going to watch it. So young Annie, Darth Vader, right? Evil, right? And then you kind of keep on watching, you watch the progression. And it's like when we read this, it's like, oh, look at all these tribes, they got all this inheritance, and you're kind of like, but Judges chapter 1's coming, and they're going to lose it all because they're not obedient, right? And it's like, no matter how great this is, you kind of go like, you know what's going to happen. But then here we are in Dan. Now, Dan's a very special case. So I'm going to read from verse 40. Now, Dan's an interesting tribe, right? So he goes, the seventh lot came to Dan, came out for the tribe of the people of Dan according to their clans. And the territories of the inheritance include Zora, Asael, Ir Shemesh, Sha'alabin, Ajilon, Ithla, Elon, Timnah, Ekron, Eltika, Gibeon, Baal, Jehud, Bini Barak, Gath, Rimmon, and Medjerkin, and Rakin, with territory over against Joppa. All right, this is what's important here. When the territory of the people of Dan was lost to them, the people of Dan went up and fought against Leshem. And after capturing it and striking with the sword, they took possession of it and settled in it, calling Leshem Dan, after the name of Dan, their ancestors. This is an inheritance of the tribe of the people of Dan, according to their clans, these cities with their villages. So this is what Dan does. Let me give you a little recap. This is what happens, right? So Dan gets this piece of land. Dan gets some pretty prime real estate, okay? Because they got some land that's like on the coast. That's pretty prime. Great, great spot. All right, so they actually get this piece of land that belongs to Sidon. And then what happens is they can't take this land. Those people fight back, and they kind of just crumble and fall. And so this is what happens. And if you read Judges 18, this is what's going on. All right, Dan loses their land, and instead of going to fight back and reclaim the land that God has given them, they go and they take somebody else's land. And Scripture says these people are like unassuming and quiet. When I read this, I thought of Anna. Okay? Quiet Anna, you. And going, you have stuff taken from you, and you go and pick on the easiest person to pick on. You go take their land. You know who does that? Maddie, right? She loves bread so much. If you go and watch her in the nursery, she steals other people's food. You know that? She steals other people's food. I've dropped her off at daycare, and little Peter has bread in her hand, in his hand, and Maddie comes up to him, and she just goes, I'm like, I am in front of you, I can see that, right? And she starts to do like really sneakily, like, mine, right? We call her the tax collector at home. Because everything that we put in our mouth, she gets 10%, right? And so, this is, and I'm going, this group of people, it's like, I can't get my land back. Let's go get their land, right? Like, they look easy. Let's go do that. And I'm going, that's not even yours. God didn't even give that to you. And what we see is that they ran into these roadblocks. And they found obeying God too difficult. So they settled. So for us, when we're in that place, don't settle when obedience gets. Don't settle when obedience gets tough. They ran to the roadblock. They ran to this huge roadblock. The land that God's given them, the people are pretty strong and won't back off. And instead of trusting in God's promises, that God says that I will fight on your behalf, that this, you will take the land, you need to trust me, they said, that's too hard. Let's go find something easier. And they settled. They lost some really, if you read Judges 18, it is a crazy story. It's so weird. They go and like, you're a Levite, you're now our priest. Just some random Levite, right? You, our priest. We're going to go take this land. And it's like, it's just the weirdest story. Judges has a lot of odd stories. And this is just one of those things like, and in Joshua, they just accounted, not as this is their inheritance, like this is what happened. Dan lost their land. And goes finds the quietest people group and takes it from them. For us this morning, with what God has blessed us with, do we settle when things get too difficult? Instead of obedience, how many of us settle with what we think is good enough? Some of us here this morning, God has blessed you with marriage and blessed you with a husband or a wife. But sometimes obedience is difficult because there's roadblocks in the marriage, and marriage is hard. But do you, instead of pushing through and obeying God in your marriage, you settle for good enough? Well, we don't fight, so that's good enough. We also don't talk, so we don't fight. We just stick together for the kids, because that's good enough. At least we're not getting divorced, so that's good enough. Instead of striving for obedience, we settle. Or what about forgiveness for those who have held on to a grudge for so long? I don't want to have that conversation. It just feels awkward and uncomfortable. So I'll just ignore them. That's good enough. Well, you know, I'm just going to sweep it under the rug and let's just not talk about it and forget about it. That's good enough. Right? Instead of going, I need to have a talk with you. I really need to ask for your forgiveness, or I really need to just reconcile with you. You hurt me when you did this. And instead of having those hard conversations of reconciliation, what Scripture tells us, we go, let's just ignore it. That's good enough. Or instead of the Great Commission, we settle for the Good Commission, right? We just be good people. I don't want to have those conversations because they're awkward. But I can be a good person. That's good enough. Obedience is hard, but I'll just settle right here. This is good. This is good. Instead of actually having biblical community where we actually share our struggles and we share our crap in our lives and calling people out and spurring one another to grow in Him, we settle for showing up, punching the clock, and going home. I'll settle for the easy conversations. I will settle for the surface level conversations. I'll settle with just doing bare minimum. I'll just do what's easy, what's good enough. I don't want to be vulnerable. That's too difficult. We're spending time with God in His Word and prayer. Do you know what this is for me? This is like a honing knife. Or a honing stick for a knife. It straightens me out. But for us, it's like, it's too hard. So I'll just settle with, maybe I'll listen to some music every now and then. Maybe I'll just sit there and think about some thoughts about God, and that's good enough. Or serving, or giving. Sometimes I feel like so interchangeable. Some people who is like, maybe I can just give more and not serve. That'd be just good enough. Or some people, maybe I'll serve more and not give. That's good enough. And we settle for what is easy. And I can keep on going over and going on and on and on. The roadblocks are so difficult for us sometimes where obedience is so hard, we settle for what's good enough. We settle for the next best thing. But we refuse to push on through and push towards obedience. I know for many of us, God is putting pressure in some area in your life. Even right now, as I am talking about how, what are the things you are settling on in obedience, God is putting pressure on already. Maybe it's how you spend your time and money, or maybe it's your relationships, or maybe taking next steps and growing your faith. But we say it's too hard. I know that's what's best, but the roadblocks are just too difficult, so I just want to settle. I just want to remind you that God wants so much more for you. He has prepared so much more for you. He called us to be obedient and follow Him. And just like last week, as we saw those four people get baptized, Especially, you know what really struck me? I was so proud of one of my counselors. And even in the testimonies we heard last week, we heard our sister Catherine's testimony. Essentially, it was easier to just not be baptized. But it was not better. You know what I mean? Like, she goes, we've been challenged to be strong and courageous. And what was easy for her or easy for a lot of us is, I'll settle for being good enough. I'm like, what a cool example of going in the midst of how scary it could be for me. I'm going to choose obedience. Let that be a testimony for all of us. I'm going to choose obedience this morning. We're just going to wrap this up real quick. And verse 49 through 51. When they finished distributing the several territories of the land as inheritance, the people of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua the son of Nun. By command of the Lord, they gave him the city that he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the land in the hill country of Ephraim. And he built the city and settled on it. These are the inheritance that Eleazar, the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers' houses, the father's house of the tribes of the people of Israel distributed by the lot at Shiloh before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting, so they finished dividing the land. I'm going to make this real quick. For our last point, for the faithful, I want to remind us, God keeps His promises. God keeps His promises. We have finished splitting the lots. We started with Caleb, the first of two spies that said, God will keep his promise, we can take the land, while everyone else said no. And we end with Joshua, the second spy, that said, God will keep his promises, we can take the land, while everyone said no. And God said, you two had faith, and I will bring you to the promised land, while everyone else can't see it. And it was about 50, almost 50, probably over 50 years since Egypt, since they left Egypt. It was a long, stinking time. But God kept his promises. God kept his promises. And Joshua here, what a great example of a leader. Places everybody before him, gives everybody the land, and he is last. The humility, and we see we close out this kind of portion of the allotment with Joshua. While we know that everyone else besides Caleb, all the other tribes will eventually screw up by the first chapter of Judges, which is really, really sad because it's the very next book, right? We close out with, but there is a man that is faithful. There is an example that we want to look to. That is a person that has confidence and trust that I keep my promises. And for us this morning, I want us to remember again that God will keep his promises in your life. He will keep his promises to the faithful. And God says that he will draw near to those who draw near to him. That he will not forsake us. So what are some of the promises that we can place our hope in this morning? He says he will always love us. He will always love us. And he will keep that promise. So we can always find our hope and confidence in him. That is a promise he will always keep. That Jesus is better than anything else anyone or anything can offer. He will keep that promise. Jesus is better. He's better than anything anyone can offer, anything anyone can hope for. He promises that his joy is sweeter. His joy is better. His joy is worth it. Those are some of the promises that we can hold on to. In the midst of difficulty, in obedience, we can hold on to these promises. 50 plus years. Some of us in this group haven't even lived 50 years, and we're going, how do I know if God keeps his promise? 50 years for Joshua to finally see promise realized. And we are complaining about a couple months. God will keep his promise. And there's really nothing left to say about that. God will keep his promise for the faithful. For us this morning, some of us feel like our lots are cursed. And our past curses our present. I want to remind you, it doesn't, because God has wiped that clean to the cross. Some of us, we've failed to recognize the blessing God has given to us because it's difficult through obedience to obtain that. Whether it's your job, whether it's your family or your kids or school. And we're going, it's hard for us to see this as a blessing because it's just so difficult. And we're reminded that we should always persevere in obedience through the hard times because God keeps his promises to us. So may Joshua 19, may the inheritance that God has given the tribes of Israel be an encouragement for us this morning that God will keep his promises from now till his kingdom fully returns on earth.